I want to base this morning's brief homily on the first reading from the book of Exodus and this beautiful passage depicting the story of the burning bush and its application to the other readings, especially our gospel, and the spirit of conversion that is a part of the Lenten season. Some days ago, I received an email from my seminary in Maryland, Mount St. Mary's. It's an e-newsletter we get every quarter from the rector, and the newsletter talks about various events going on at the seminary. And they had beautiful pictures of an event that began when I was in seminary nearly 25 years ago of a program called Mount 2000. It's a program that actually was started here in Rome, but then it extended to the rest of the world. And essentially what Mount 2000 is Mount 2000 is a three-day Eucharistic prayer festival. That's the best way I can describe it. It's 3 days where the seminary, all 180 men of the seminary, invite in about 2,000 young persons, almost like a World Youth Day kind of experience. And for many of them, for many of the youth, it's the first time that they can go to confession, or have been to confession, should say, in maybe since First Communion, First Penance, some of them since their confirmation. The age ranges at about, let's say, ninth grade high school through college, and maybe even some young adult chaperones. But the most powerful portion of the 3 days is the time in silence that the students, the ninth graders, the high school students, and the college students get to spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, this is a very, very interesting way how they do this. The event takes place in an arena that sits about 3,000 people. It's a basketball arena of the university that the seminary is attached to. And in the middle, the floor, they remove all the bleachers. They're all pushed up against the wall. So the floor is completely open. And in the middle, they build every year this little wooden contraption. It's about maybe 8 feet high, and it's called the burning bush. Okay, and this wooden contraption is like a pyramid. And it has probably about 80 or 90 candles on it, all right? It makes the fire marshal very nervous, of course. But it has about 80 or 90 candles. And then the top, there's like a little tabletop. And then they put the monstrance on top. And it is kind of funny because for the years I was in the seminary there, for some reason, they would always pick the shortest deacon to be the one to put the monstrance on the top there. So we had to actually build a ladder. And so he has to go up there, okay? Now, it's interesting because when I read the newsletter this past week, I noticed from the testimonials of the attendees that they interviewed to get little clips for the newsletter, they all said that the most powerful moment of the weekend was the all-night prayer vigil that they have from Saturday night into Sunday morning before the final Mass, and different groups sign up to take a half hour or 15 minutes or an hour to just spend in silence in front of, and they all call it the burning bush, okay? It's just kind of funny. And so one of the messages that we try to communicate to the students who come to this is that in every chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is, there's a burning bush, okay? But this burning bush is obviously superior to the one we heard in the first reading, okay? Obviously, for reasons that they think graduate students of theology would be well familiar with. But I did want to just perhaps focus our attention on this notion of the burning bush in regards to what God says to Moses in the moment of the revelation of the burning bush. He says, right, I am who am. And I think this is a wonderful paradigm for Lenten prayer, right? That prayer in the end is not so much a proliferation of many words, but really intimate, powerful, profound movements of the heart. I mean, in the end, okay, that, you know, that in the highest forms of prayer, it's not about formulaic praying per se, but it's really about movements of the heart where heart speaks to heart. And it's interesting because it's here that a lot of these students would say in the testimonials that they discovered for the first time or rediscovered after many years God's immense love. One student said it beautifully. I mean, maybe she's a graduate student of theology too. She says, if God is love, then mercy is his greatest attribute. I said, wow, I mean, that's very powerful, something for someone to say, you know, before the age of 21, right? If God is love, his most powerful attribute is mercy. And then she says later, I went in front of the Blessed Sacrament for an hour, and then I went to confession for the first time in 9 years. And I had a lot to say, right? So listen to what even the Catechism says in regards to how we pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, whether exposed in a monstrance, like in this dramatic burning bush I'm describing, or in the simplicity of our chapel here. And I'll just close with this thought, this movement of the heart, especially during this Lenten season. Because what this young woman described in her testimonial says something of what is actually located in number 1848 of the Catechism. Listen carefully to these words, which is what the Church gives us. The Catechism says, conversion requires convincing of sin. Convincing of sin. It includes the interior judgment of conscience. And this being a proof of the action of the Spirit of Truth in man's inmost being becomes at the same time the start of a new grant of grace and love. Receive the Holy Spirit. Thus, in this convincing concerning sin, we discover a double gift. First, the gift of the truth of conscience. And second, the gift of the certainty of redemption. The Spirit of Truth is the consoler. So as we move forward in this Lenten season towards the great week of the celebration of the mysteries of our redemption, might we take time in a more even earnest way to spend time in front of the burning bush, that the Lord who describes himself as the great I am, right? Existence, being precedes action. Let us relish in being his sons and daughters, and let us take great consolation that without him we would not even exist, and in him and through him and with him we live and move and have our being. May Jesus Christ be praised both now and forever. Amen.